Welcome to TBF, a Browns fans podcast. Oh, yeah. I like that music because it reminds me that football season is on the way. It's TBF, a Browns fans podcast. And we're going to talk about these Browns because preseason is over. And we're looking forward to week one at home hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. Oh, my God. This could be good. Or it could go the other way, but I don't know. I kind of feel like Cleveland's due for some good luck. So, and given the preparation that's been made, yeah, some big question marks, and we're going to talk about those. But as we talk about that, let's go on and get this thing rolling. Okay, in the news, most recent news, quarterback Josh Dobbs traded to the Arizona Cardinals for a fifth-round pick. A bunch of guys' contracts reworked. So that the Browns now have with $37 million, the biggest, most cap space in the league. Now, a lot of people are speculating based on that number. Are they going to make a move? Are they making a move? I don't think so. I think Andrew Berry's going to roll most of that, but don't be surprised. There could be a signing in there, but I don't think it's not a game changing signing. I mean, look, it might be a cornerback in our future with Denzel Ward on his fourth concussion protocol.
Yeah,
that's not good. That's the fourth since he was drafted in, was it 2017? Something like that.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
I heard Grant Delpit got an arm.
Grant Delpit is on the bubble of being in the fucking league, guys. Don't you understand? This is a guy that has all this potential. Everybody can tell you how good they know Grant Delpit can be. And he has not yet been that. And if he's going to be held out by an injury, then it's all but over for him. You're going to be looking for a safety in the offseason.
I don't know how bad the arm is, but
it's bad enough to keep him off the fucking field, I'm pretty sure. Okay. And again, players' health is of primary concern, but availability is the best ability, and Grant Delpit hasn't necessarily had that for Cleveland. And when he's been there, listen, there's been some plays. He's obviously shown his athletic ability on the field to Browns fans, but he has not been what we need at the safety position, and that's a game changer. You know, the Browns are in terrible need of a guy that's an impact player at the safety position. Think Troy Polamalu or somebody like that. Somebody that's in there and doing things. Again, at the linebacker, we were supposed to have that in JOK. Owusu-Koramoah. Is he going to come into his own and be that guy that's all over the field? And then maybe you don't need that so badly in a safety. But you got to have that guy. And right now we don't have that guy.
Did you see the one play where he got through the line and blocked the pass? Boy, he's bigger than I thought. He's not real big, but he's bigger than I thought.
Yeah, I understand, but where JOK is going to be more, listen, if we need help from a linebacker on the pass rush, then what did we just spend all that fucking money for? No, I mean, I'm not worried about the pass rush. Yes, you're going to see some blitzing, but a majority of pressure on and sacks of quarterback are going to be done legitimately by your defensive line because Jim Schwartz plays a lockdown backfield. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now with folks like Ward out and Delpit out, who are those guys that are going to step up? That's what you got to ask yourself, because Jim Schwartz's defense and the way he lets the line go is predicated on locking down the backfield. If you're not locking down the backfield, well, you can't do the other part. And that could be, a long year. What?
I've seen a lot of good run stops, but I was wondering how many first stringers we were actually playing.
Hardly any. Like I said, the guys that did get the work off the first team on offense did so to facilitate Watson. All right. That's it. Right. Pretty much. It was all second, third string. You didn't see Myles Garrett out there. Although Za'Darius Smith did play, should be noted, and he made some plays, specifically in the running game. I mean, you know, in the backfield tackles, but yeah. he was out rather quickly as well.
Yeah. Yeah, preseason ain't like it used to be.
It's not supposed to be. The coaches don't want it at all. The NFL wants it so that the teams can make the money off the seats, and the fans want it so they got something to look at before the season, but the coaches don't even want it, most of them.
I mean, is it really? I mean, you got to get some reps in and see okay. who you're going to cut.
Oh, unless you don't. Because, see, if the entire league started up after practicing week one, yes, you would see sloppier play in the first 2 weeks of the league. I grant you. But strategy would have to then become, you know, coaching would become more important, okay? Because all those games still have the same level of value on the schedule. But you would right. have a guaranteed healthy squad, okay? You look at all the teams that have lost key players to injuries in this preseason.
Yeah.
Well, we just lost a kick returner. We just lost a kick returner, season-ending injury. That's the guy we went and got, Jakeem. Okay?
That's the guy we went and got from Chicago.
That's the speedster that we went and got. He's gone for the year. You're never going to see him.
Second year he's been injured.
Well, but it doesn't matter. It's his first year with us, okay? And we got him. Yeah, we picked him up in the offseason, and we never got to use him in a legitimate game.
But forgive me. Last year, we got somebody from Chicago.
If that was him, then it's 2 years in a row. So he's toast. You're never going to see him.
2 years in a row.
Wait. Yep. So now he's toast. You're never going to see him. Okay? And that's so because of the preseason. Man. You're never going to see him do what they brought him in to do. In a game, in a meaningful game, because preseason.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but outside of the first quarter of a preseason game, what do you really watch? Do you even pay attention to it? Do you give a fuck?
Not really. I mean, not really.
Because do you really get insight into these other players? Because anytime I see a guy do something good in the second half of a preseason game, then yeah, but he's playing against their third, fourth string, guys that aren't even going to make the team. So what does that really tell me? You might as well be watching a USFL game.
Right. Did you guys see that the sod was a problem at Kansas City? It hadn't fully set yet. That was a lot of the reason that he slipped. And then the second kick return slipped. There was a lot of slipping going on, and they talked about it. And the sod was like horrible. It hadn't set yet. They just replaced it.
Well, and there you go. And preseason, you know, they got to get the fields ready too. Okay. I mean, this is a complex concert of activity that has to go on to get the league ready to play on opening day. And in the meantime, you got coaches and that's why, of course, that's why preseason rosters have like 100 guys on them. Okay. Because some guys you're going to want to keep. God, wish we could have kept him. Sorry he had that season-ending injury in game two of the preseason. But glad we got this other guy on the roster, so we got somebody to fill the spot. I expect that. And listen to me good. With $37 million in his pocket, Andrew Berry's going to look at the first four games of this season after they've been played going into week five, which is keep in mind prior to trade deadline and all that stuff. Okay. And if this team has been competitive, if they're 3-1 or 4-0, right. And looking strong and healthy, and this wasn't just some luck shit, right. He's going to probably make some kind of a move that's necessary for the team if there's an asset out there to get. Okay.
Right.
And he has the flexibility to do that. And if he doesn't, there's nobody to get, or if he doesn't need it, he's got $37 million already that he's rolling into next year. And why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a plus no matter what way you look at it. That's good.
But I don't expect the Browns to make any, you know, shock the league signings. I think they did that a couple of years ago. Okay. And I think they're still waiting to get their return on that. So I think.
Well, what you would. you would hope it would be similar to what the Rams did. And we're sitting here and we're playing so good this season, right? And we're so good. And we're just like, man, if we had that one thing and then it, you know, there's a trade ready or something. We're like, right. Hey, yeah. So we'll take this.
Right.
And we'll
take that. We need that one guy, right? Yeah. And in the Rams case, if you'll remember, one of those guys that they got was due to somebody we cut.
Correct.
Of course, he got his ass into the fucking Super Bowl and then tore his fucking ACL again. But, you know.
And so Clowney with the Ravens.
Good for him.
I know, right? I thought that was funny.
They better keep his ass out the backfield. That's all I can tell you.
If he could stay on the field, he might do some, but he can't stay on the field.
The headline from yesterday, the official headline from Dogs by Nature. Browns start final season game strong against Chiefs, fall 33-32. And again, but they fell 33-32 largely because of second half performance of guys that ain't even going to make the team. Okay.
Right. Yeah. It's not a big deal. Preseason doesn't mean anything in that sense.
That touchdown to fucking Njoku was the bomb, dude. Did you see that?
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Okay.
I did not get to see any of the game. I was out. And I did not get a chance to watch highlights because I was tired when I got back. So.
Okay.
That sounds like a poor excuse to me, sir.
It sounds like we're doing laps now. If I explain to you why I was out, you'd have to give me a
pass on that.
Yeah, a pass on it.
So. Okay, so we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
The Cleveland Browns preseason is officially over, capped off with a 33-32 loss against the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's get to the full game recap. What does poor Corny have to say? I think this is Chris poor Corny. Yep, it is. The Browns offense got the ball first. Unfortunately, wide receiver Jakeem Grant, who was playing for the first time this preseason, was carted off after attempting his first return. The offense got to midfield right out of the gate thanks to a 21-yard pass up the seam from quarterback Deshaun Watson to wide receiver Donovan Peoples-Jones, a guy who... He certainly got my vote for desire. This is a guy I want to step into his, you know, I want to see him metamorphize this year into a really key player on this team. And that's Jonathan Peoples-Jones. JPJ.
JPJ, baby.
JPJ, yeah.
JPJ.
So, yeah. On a second and 10, new running back Jordan Wilkins fumbled the exchange, and that was fucking awful, guys. But I looked at it it was the running back.
That was Deshaun's fault.
Okay. No, it wasn't Deshaun's fault. It was the running back, and I can tell you that Jordan Wilkins, we ain't going to have to worry about seeing him do that in the regular season. I do believe he's going to be on the cut list, okay? So just saying that. See, none of the guys, they're even considering to be the second and third string running backs, were in the game. I'm telling you, Deshaun Watson was in the game because he needed to be. Okay? And that should tell you something about the tenuous position that the Browns are in and how it our fortunes turn on the performance of one guy. That's number four. Okay? If four plays well, we do well. If he doesn't, I mean, we may be in some games because of our defense and all that stuff, but the odds are going to stack against you, especially when it gets down into, you know, all the teams and, you know, because you can expect the North teams to beat each other up this year. I think in a lot of cases, what may stop the North from having the four teams in is if anybody sweeps anybody. So if the Browns can do a Cincinnati sweep this year, which they typically do, okay? Last year was the first year we split with the Bengals in a long time, all right?
Right.
So if they do a Bengals sweep, that kind of blows one team out the water. It probably won't be the Bengals, but it's going to leave an odd guy out because there's only so many wins to go around, and three teams qualify for the wild card, and you got to have the people on your schedule. There's only so many open games that are non-divisional. Okay. So
right.
While it's mathematically possible for the North to have all four teams represented in the playoffs, a division winner and three wild cards, it is a mathematically tenuous probability. Okay. Because one guy sweeps another team, and then if two teams sweep another team in the division, then it's over. You just can't have it. It's mathematically impossible.
Yep.
So, you know, look at in the upcoming year, but speaking of the Bengals, okay, let's position them in terms of, well, what the hell's going on? Cincinnati Bengals. Let's look at some Bengals news. Joseph Osai. He looks like he's a linebacker. Let me see. One of the Cincinnati Bengals' top pass rushers was knocked out of Saturday's preseason finale with an injury. Defensive end Joseph Osai was ruled out in the loss to Washington Commanders with a right ankle injury, the team announced. On the opening drive, look at that. Opening drive of a preseason game, a game that don't matter, they lose their top pass rusher. I am so brokenhearted for them.
Yeah. But there you go, talking about preseason again. There you go.
And Joe Burrow, it was in practice, so we can't even blame a preseason game. But, you know, he had the calf injury. Okay.
Yeah, and how's that coming?
Well, they expect him to play on starting day, but he'll have no reps. He played no preseason. Okay.
Right.
Because of the calf injury. Okay. So it's two sides of an argument. Coaches don't want preseason, so Joe Burrow's right where they want all the players to be. The problem is other players have had reps. So now you're going in with an unevenness. If all the teams go in, okay, and all they're going to have is practices, and see, that's when intramural scrimmages will be more important. Okay. If they get rid of the preseason, and I believe in 6 years, when the next CBA is negotiated, preseason's going to be on the block. What?
So you're talking about joint practices and things like that?
Yeah, joint practices will become important because then you do get reps against actual competition, just not, you know, your own locker room. And that can be kind of important in terms of the intensity of the reps.
Yep.
But you gotta police those because we've seen those can break out into fights and people get hurt and shit like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I tell you what though, looking at preseason, I can't tell. I got high hopes.
It is not designed for you to be able to tell. Okay. It is, matter of fact, intentionally designed for you not to be able to tell. Because they're not trying to give away any, get this, tells to the other team. Okay? So if the other team looking at, now listen to it. If the football minds on the other team, on the other side of the field, and what they're doing on the field is designed not to give a tell to them, how are you sitting at home watching it going to tell anything about it?
Yeah, I think it's just, I mean, they use it basically, this right now anyway, a tool just to
audition players past the first 53. That's what it's basically used for. The only utility that the coaches remain. And matter of fact, if, and this may be a permutation that you see, okay, before they ever get rid of the preseason, what they'll do is, hey, in the CBA, the agreement will be that anybody named to the official 53-man roster of a team, right, will not play in the preseason. It'll only be the guys that are playing. It'll be like the summer league, right?
Okay. No, not like the Summer League.
Well, yeah, because you don't see starters playing the Summer League.
No. The only reason I say not like the Summer League is because technically you do possibly see starters play. It's just you're seeing. So now the top five picks of the NBA, right, that all played in the Summer League. Some of those quite possibly could be starters still. You're finding out about players in the Summer League. And to me, okay, because I had somebody say that to me one of those Facebook groups, right? And they were talking about how bad, you know, you can't really pull anything from the Summer League. I disagree. You can pull more from the NBA Summer League than you can from the NFL preseason.
Well, no, but the point I was making, Jeff, is that, yeah, you're going to any guy that you drafted, because listen, any team that's crazy enough to just put a guy on a 53-man roster that they just drafted without playing him is not doing themselves a service. And that's they wouldn't qualify. Rookies wouldn't qualify as being part of your designated 53-man that sits out and doesn't play preseason.
Right.
In other words, so it'd be all your rookies and it'd be all your other guys that are bubble guys anyway. Anybody from 54 down on your preseason roster, they populate and people the teams that play.
Right.
And any decision that was be made, and whether they could have exceptive rules or whatever, but any decision that would be made to play a member of that 53 man would have to be agreed on by the player, his representation, and the team, and be league approved.
Right.
Say take Deshaun Watson in this case, where he just really needs the reps. They could, you know, get a waiver to play him because of the circumstance, but there'd be rules around that. And it'd be like, you don't want a unfair competitive advantage. So that then when you go into the season, accepting guys that played their way onto your 53 man, causing you to cut somebody else, nobody's had the whole preseason experience thing and the accumulation of reps. And so you're going into it even footed.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with that. What I will say is this: if they do it that way, okay, it will put more emphasis on these second unit, third unit guys, okay, and put more spotlight on. It may actually give preseason more.
Well, I mean, yeah, they'll really be able to do showcasing.
But what I'm saying is it'll actually give preseason more meaning if you kept all the starters out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, I totally agree.
Because I'm saying the meaning, what I was explaining to the guy I was responding to in a debate about like the NBA Summer League, I was like, if you look at the top performers in Summer League, they all make teams and become, you know, productive players in the league. Okay. So you can't say it means nothing because the outliers and the people who shine the brightest, they tend to become either starters or very serviceable role players or backups. Or bench players, okay? That's not that's a use. That means there's something there to see, you know? So preseason has preseason really shown that for us? We've seen too many times where the best performing quarterback in a preseason is a guy who never ever plays in the NFL. Okay? Like never plays a fucking starting role game. Okay? So it's like, do we really, what do we actually get out of preseason play? You know, what do we actually see? It'd probably be more meaningful if you kept the starters out.
Well, yeah, I agree.
That's not going to happen anymore. That
let's take a look at something. The Bengals offer encouraging updates on Joe Burrow injury. It's looking more and more likely the Cincinnati Bengals will have quarterback Joe Burrow in their lineup when the 2023 regular season starts after some positive news this week. Early in Bengals training camp, Burrow went down with a non-contact injury. The worst was feared, but that did not come to fruition. It was later announced by Bengals head coach Zach Taylor that Burrow only sustained a calf injury. Still, Burrow has missed several weeks of practice this summer, which put his start of the season in question. He looks great physically, just walking around. He looks probably as good as I've ever looked at this point. He's ever looked at this point. Yeah, I want you to just decode the words that Zach Taylor just fucking said here. Okay. He looks really good as he's ever looked walking around. Okay.
Yeah. He looks real good walking.
That's a positive, and we'll just go from there. Hey, at least he's walking. Okay, so, but yeah. that also tells me that at some point, obviously in the early stages of this, Joe wasn't walking so good. Right?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, because when the coach has to get out in front of the media and say, well, yeah, I seen him walking the other day, and man, does he look good walking.
Specifically come out and say
it's a calf injury. A calf injury.
I understand.
What don't you understand about that?
His intricacies of it.
What don't you understand about that? His calf is injured.
I know his calf is injured.
That's all they're telling you, dude.
What happened?
That is all they're fucking. That is all they're fucking telling you. That's all they have to tell you.
Yeah.
Okay. When by the way, this may be or maybe not. Depends on the Bengals. Okay. Obviously, they're clearly being guarded with the information they give people. And just, I mean, even in the articles where you read about it, they then put it in quotes, calf injury. Okay. So does that imply that this was a much more serious injury than they want anybody to know? But it's also the kind that he can overcome on a quicker basis than an actual muscle tear or something like that. You know, contusions can be had and gotten over and with some mitigation in terms of medication and taping, he can go with it, but it might still hurt. In other words,
I mean, let's also remember the Bengals haven't had the most stellar offensive line. So if he has an injury, out of all the teams in our division, I would say the quarterback is, if they have an injury and they're going to play with an injury, it's the most susceptible to that becoming something worse, would be Burrow.
Yeah. Remember when they thought they had that shit solved at the beginning of last year?
I know, right?
Their line. Yeah. Oh, the much improved Bengals line. And then they got out there and shit the bed. Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to do it this year, man, because the same thing is happening. They're talking about, hey, they got the line is good now.
Hey, as long as they're worried about it, I'm not.
Right.
Okay. And the truth's going to be in the telling. You watch it on the field. And I got Myles Garrett coming on one side and Za'Darius Smith either on the other side or up through the middle. And you're going to have to block, baby. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I like our defensive coordinator. I like the type of defense he's running. It's going to be interesting to watch.
It will. But having said that, and I know we did this last time we got together, but let's look at that early schedule again. And, cause I think it bears some speculating about, okay. Cause what we got is a couple of possibilities and ways this could work out. And by the way, with an early bye, you know, you could have adversity that, you know, of the type that you could get over. Okay. And then you could have, you know, your typical Cleveland Browns type adversity where the whole season's shot, you know, before
you're like, what is going on here?
Well, I could tell you something right out
that's
very important for, especially if you took the same way we played last year, okay, let's just say that we played respectful and good last year, except at the end of games or certain critical moments, which caused us to lose games very close. We can't have that this year.
Yeah. Exactly. And then this is where Kevin Stefanski's either going to come in or he's going to write his ticket out of town.
Right.
Okay. Because that's all that shit was on coaching. All right. Now, I got to tell you one thing you got in Deshaun Watson. If coach is trying to call something and he sees something different, he'll definitely call the team out of it.
Right.
Okay. So, and you got some educated eyes there. One thing I've never heard anybody bring up as a point against Deshaun Watson. He can read, dude. He can read the field. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, he sees his guys, and he generally throws to a guy that was reasonably open. And listen, some of the windows he throws in, they don't have to be that open. Okay?
I enjoy his pocket awareness. I mean, he knows when to get out.
If Deshaun Watson plays at his potential, if Deshaun Watson plays at his potential and gets anywhere near his performance from when he was with the Texans, we're going to be fine. Okay. And then the games will go the way they go, and then it will be on coaching. But again, if Deshaun Watson is even average, it's over, guys. Just about the time.
Yeah.
About the time you get to the end of a game, any game, I don't care if it's week one, and you say, you know, Deshaun just looked really average as hell, okay? Then you know you ain't going nowhere. Just know right. that, okay? Just know that. Don't go making that bet. Don't go, okay? Don't do it. You're going to lose.
Hey, where's FanDuel at? I let me get that app up right now. FanDuel.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Okay, so we start with the Bengals at home. And then week two, we travel to Pittsburgh. On Monday night, as part of a Monday, not an opening week Monday night doubleheader. They wait till week two this time, and you got the Monday night mm-hmm. doubleheader. We will be the nationally televised game. The other game will, they'll both be national. One will be on ESPN. One will be on ABC. Our game will be on ABC. Okay.
Okay.
It's the late start. Okay. The other game starts at 7:15. We start at 8:15. Okay. Then. Back home again to invite the Titans. A battle of the running backs. Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb. We get to see them head to head. And then again, another home game against the Baltimore Ravens. So we'll have played everybody in the division one time. Two at home, one away.
By week
and then
four.
We have a bye. We have a week five bye. We don't play again till October 15th after we play the Ravens at home.
We are rated in the middle of the league on schedule strength.
Right. And by the way, we're also rated right in the middle of the league on power ranking, too.
Yeah.
We are middle of everything. So and everybody who puts us in the middle says one thing. You know what they say? Come on. You guys could guess, right?
Potential. What?
It depends on Deshaun Watson. I don't know. Yeah. They could be good. They could be bad. It depends on Deshaun Watson.
So how the Browns going to do? It depends.
Well, they're going to wait. I'm they're going to be in depends. What's wrong? Do they have a bladder control problem?
Well, I don't know.
Well, how I'm seeing the schedule. Our schedule, if you're basing off of last year, yes, uh-huh. you could say it's middle of the league. But let's be serious, okay? The Bengals
uh-huh.
could go to the playoffs. The Steelers could go to the playoffs. Yeah. Tennessee Titans, okay?
Oh, they could definitely go to the playoffs. Although yeah, they're a little shaky at quarterback because, you know, it's like they got Ryan Tannehill. He mm-hmm. is reliable, but they don't want him. They just want another guy, and they can't find him.
Right. Baltimore Ravens could go to the playoffs. Niners could go to the playoffs. Colts, I think that's where we're good this year. We should beat the Colts. Yeah. That should be a win. Seattle right. Seahawks could go to the playoffs.
Win.
Arizona Cardinals could go to the playoffs.
Seahawks could go to the playoffs? Oh, that's right.
Geno sure, they Smith. Could.
My bad.
Yeah, sure, they could.
Geno Smith.
They went last year. They don't have much of a different team this year.
Well, the question is, can Geno Smith put two seasons together?
We don't know. We don't yeah. know. I mean, but what I'm talking about is you
know
at
what
the
doesn't
team and say
look good?
Whether they could go or not.
You yeah. know what doesn't look good? Russell Wilson in Denver. He's got Sean yeah, Payton no. now, and if it ain't helping, then ain't nothing helping.
Right. I was getting to that. You have the Seahawks who could go to the playoffs starting there again. Arizona could go to the playoffs. We all know they have the potential. They fell off late last year. They were there the whole way and they just kind of.
Okay, but get this. If what's supposed to happen this week happens, okay? And listen, blockbuster trade. It's going to be a lackluster blockbuster. How about that? And that is Kyler Murray gets traded away.
Okay, well, then the Cardinals will be
then they're out.
If it's
then possible. They're out, yeah.
Okay, then they're done.
They're talking about sucking to get, what's his name? Caleb Williams.
Interesting, okay.
Yeah.
then we're back to, you know, we have Baltimore, Pittsburgh. We all know we already covered that. Denver could go to the playoffs if you have some kind of resurgence of Russell Wilson.
Denver's fortunes depend purely and significantly and almost singularly on the performance of Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to count him out because that could happen, but that should be a win on our schedule. That should be a win. That one should be marked as a win. The Rams, if you're basing off of last year, we should mark it as a win. If we're basing off of logic, they could go to the playoffs.
Oh, okay? Sure they could. I mean, they still got all the pieces in place.
Right.
Yeah, they do.
Cooper Kupp ain't left. And the quarterback, he's back and healthy again. Stafford.
Right. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Sorry, this is the season where I think you have to count the Jaguars as a playoff team possibly.
I do because of Trevor Lawrence. Right. Because he's coming into his own. He's going to start making plays that are going to make you say, what the fuck did he just do?
There's going to be teams that drop off this year. Some of these teams that I'm saying are possible playoff teams will drop off. But, you know, most of the time you can pick more. We should win that game off of schedules. You just can't this year. The Bears, okay? We should win that.
The Bears. But
the Bears are a come-up team as well. Fields started playing really good at the end of last season.
Yeah.
Now, there's only so much a quarterback, and you're saying that. What's interesting about Fields, of all the young quarterbacks, you've probably seen some of the worst and best stuff from him.
Well, okay? I've heard this said by more than a couple folks this year, and it's Justin Fields at the end of this year is either going to be everybody's sweetheart or everybody's, you know, the one.
It's true. We've seen he's actually literally in the 2 years he's played so far, he has some of the lowest and the highest. You can see some of the craziest potential in him and some of the man. He's just not. Is he going to?
I think he's better than. Listen, I think Justin Fields is fine. I think the Bears front line is not fine.
You know who Justin Fields reminds me of?
Who?
Who's playing? He reminds me of Kyler Murray, but he's bigger.
Right.
I mean.
I can tell you this. I think the problem with the Kyler Murrays, the Baker Mayfields, the Johnny Manziels, any of them, even Russell Wilson now again, and it takes longer. Okay. Depending on the amount of talent to start with. Okay. And depending on how well they're protected based on scheme and quality of line, depends on how long before you see with Russell Wilson, it's a speed thing. Russell Wilson's not as fast as he used to be. And now that height deficit really fucking matters. Okay. Cause it's a corollary thing. Okay,
he's forced more to be in the
pocket. Kyler Murray does a lot of running, a lot of getting banged up. And if you're going to believe the behind the scenes, doesn't really even study the playbook. Remember, they had to put a clause in that said, before they would renegotiate with him, they put a clause in that said he's got to go and document that he's done at least this many minutes of studying the playbook every fucking day.
Right.
Like, why wouldn't you? Like, I don't understand. Well,
why didn't Johnny Manziel? Johnny Manziel, absolutely. If you haven't watched it, watch the undocumented or whatever. It. And he said, I ain't never looked at a playbook. I didn't even think about football when I wasn't on the field.
And I'll say this about that comparison I just made. Because I'm looking statistically, Kyle Murray is a much more accurate quarterback over his career than Fields has been. Okay. Fields 2 years. What Fields is breaking that just, and we usually say this, your starting quarterback, if starting quarterback in the NFL, you're looking for him to throw 60%. He threw 60% on the dot just about last year.
So, okay, go ahead.
No, you can go.
So what I was going to say, the guys that are little like that, like Kyler, and let's take Baker because this will be the example I'll get to prove my case. One shoulder injury away from just destroying that accuracy. And it doesn't have to be the throwing shoulder. Because it's about the whole body mechanics. With the littler the guy is, the more it is about the entire body mechanics.
I just don't know if I would lump Justin Field in with Johnny Manziel and Baker Mayfield and the like. I don't think he's.
Oh, bad. I wouldn't. I would, but he's, you know, the much place bigger I would
quarterback.
He's a much bigger quarterback, and where I would lump him at the highest level of his potential would be Randall Cunningham. Okay. Not okay, quite that as tall.
Might be a very
not quite as tall, but at the lowest of his potential, I'd put him on a Geno Smith.
Yeah. Boy,
which
I would
means,
with
the, which so, means I think, come on. Before last season, anybody who had Geno Smith as their quarterback, we were saying, oh, I'm so sorry for them.
Lose.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always, when I think about quarterbacks, I always hearken back to what Drew Brees said. It can take quarterbacks 5, sometimes even 7 years to really develop into who they are.
How about Rich Gannon? I mean, come on.
That's the one I always use. Rich Gannon went from being the journeyman to the freaking corner piece. Okay.
Yeah.
The other thing to point out is you mentioned Drew Brees. Drew Brees is probably the prototypical small quarterback that you would love. Okay. Cause he had, for all the athleticism he may have had, and he had less than some of these guys, right? Mm-hmm. He made sure as he got older, he got better. It's like, I mean, there's no way to put it, you know, other way to put it. You know what I mean? His reading, everything got better as he got older. Okay. To compensate for the fact that he was losing athleticism.
So guys, we mentioned deficit.
He was able to fill in the blanks.
Okay. So we mentioned Rick Gannon. Rich Gannon, which makes me think back to that time when first he had John Gruden, and then, of course, John Gruden gets traded, a coach gets traded to the Bucks, and Bill Callahan became the head coach and coached him, coached Rich Gannon and the Raiders to the Super Bowl. Well, in the opening week of this season, Bill Callahan, our offensive line coach, will be facing his son, the Bengals offensive coordinator, Brian Callahan. So,
okay,
there you go. So if you didn't hear it anywhere, you heard it here.
So what do you guys think is going to be the outlier? After everything we've seen so far? He was asking a question. Oh,
go
for
it. I said, we'll be watching that one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, will we really? Because Bill Callahan coaches the offensive line and his son coaches the Bengals offense. So no, we really won't. No, we really won't. So just saying, but anyway.
Yeah, that's tongue-in-cheek sarcasm.
Yeah.
With everything we've seen and everything so far, off-season to preseason to we're coming into it, purge scene, everything else, what is the outlier for us in the first game? What do you think is going to be the thing that stands out?
Whether Deshaun Watson plays well or not.
Really? That's what you think?
Yes. Yeah. I think there's nothing else to talk about when it comes to the Browns. Whoa.
But he asked about what stands out. I think the defense.
I mean, that's a standout. That's not a standout.
That's the biggest standout there is.
I was going to say the defensive line. I'll be looking.
I'll be honest with you. Given the people that they have on this defensive line right now. Okay. I don't think there's a possibility they're not going to be good. Okay, I don't think it's going to be a surprise to anybody when Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith get off to maybe the first 2 weeks with 6 or 7 sacks between them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, So is that an outlier? Really? No. I mean, see, because the biggest question mark over the entire team of the Cleveland Browns is how will Deshaun Watson do? Because if you look at the roster, if you look at the schemes, you look at the coaches, and I'm speaking specifically to Jim Schwartz as the defensive coordinator, and you look at the way they got this thing laid out, it's set. The table is set, and an all-pro quarterback can come in and win with this team.
Right. Yeah.
If he doesn't play at all-pro level, that's the only thing that can hold you back.
Yeah, because he should be this year. He should.
Absolutely. And I think we have early indications to suggest he may be on that track.
But you know what I like about what the Browns are doing now? They're not touting anything. They're not like, We're going to do this. We're going to do it. We're here. Da-da-da-da-da. It's very low
key. Yeah, I think I'm happy about that. Somebody needs to shut Myles Garrett the fuck up in this last 2 weeks, because he's the guy that always comes out and says, I'm going to be defensive player of the year. I'm going to get 22 sacks or some bullshit. And then nothing. Then it's, yeah, what? So,
well, I ain't heard nothing from him yet. So hopefully
that's good. That's a good thing. Maybe Jim Schwartz got in his face and said, hey, Myles, keep the shit to yourself. If you want to tell somebody what you're going to be this year, come tell me. Stay the fuck off the mic.
Hey, what did the Godfather, who played the Godfather?
Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando. What did Marlon Brando say? Don't let him know what you're thinking.
Oh, yeah. That's when he smacked the shit out of Sonny. Sonny, don't ever say that shit in front of anybody again. Never let him know what you're thinking.
Right.
Like, God damn it.
So, I mean, I think we might be pleasantly surprised. I'm still like,
he did that shit to Sollozzo too.
Yeah, right.
I didn't even like that. I didn't like Sollozzo when he walked in. So you telling me,
right.
I'm a Godfather. Listen. Okay. So people may or may not know this about me, but I'm into Star Trek. Love Star Trek, any Star Trek. Except I think for that digital cartoon on Netflix, on Nickelodeon, which I didn't like, Star Trek. I can't even remember what it's called. That's the bad part. But yeah, except for that one. And, I can purchase stuff out of shows and everything. But the other thing that I'm kind of that way about, not Lord of the Rings, not Star Wars, no, The Godfather.
The Godfather, right.
There's lines in that for all kind of situations in life. You can use these. They're good. And by the way, totally unrelated, but another movie that has many, many lines like that that are applicable to life situations is The Color Purple.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Wasn't there a remake of that coming out?
But not tell nobody but God.
Isn't there a remake of Color Purple coming?
Yeah, it's a musical. Yeah, it's the musical is being remade into a movie. It's going to be interesting to see if it's any good. I'm not into musicals. Okay,
I'm not particularly.
I don't think you'll ever have to worry about TBF, a Browns fans podcast, the musical.
We won the game.
This Browns fan. Anyway.
No. I'll end it with massages.
So speaking of musicals, I'm halfway through the musical in Strange New Worlds.
Okay, and again, I think the way they did that particular episode was as close as you're ever going to get me to enjoying a musical, and I still didn't. Okay.
Yeah, it was like, why are we singing?
Yeah, I'm singing again.
Well, you know, that's what always gets me about musicals, because, you know, growing up, you know, Mom used to love watching them.
Yeah.
In the old black and white ones. I used to mess with her. I was like, I mean, they sing about anything. I mean, the guy breaks out because he's walking down the street to go get bread for his wife.
I love buying bread for my wife.
I mean, yeah, I'm like, okay, really?
It's only a nickel a loaf.
That's it. Did you say Michelob? No, we did not. No, we did not. Did
you? Dang.
Hold on.
All right, guys. That would make more sense. I'm buying beer.
right. Beer. Hey,
that would be The Simpsons, the musical. Buying beer and donuts.
Right.
Well, you got to have something to go with your beer.
Right? Isn't that Homer said, beer, yummy? Yeah.
No, just beer.
So the Browns win week one. The Browns win. We're going to win week one. What are the other teams in our division? What are the games they play? Will they win their week one?
Let's look at the full schedule.
We're going to whoop the Steelers' ass on Monday night. No, bullshit.
That's not week one, though. We're talking about week one here. NFL. Shit.
Definitely beat the Bengals, though. All my friends that are Steelers fans, they'll say, they'll
okay, like, so what you got here on week one is you got, come on, show me preseason. Okay, here we go. Browns, obviously, Bengals at Browns, Lions at Chiefs, Texans at Ravens. We got the Texans.
The Ravens could lose.
At the Ravens. So. Okay, again, you know, as much as I tell you, the Browns' fortunes depend on how Deshaun Watson does. As much. And by the way, I think at this point, there's at least more of an internal idea that we have knowledge that how it's going to come out for them. But if Lamar Jackson don't play well.
Right, and that was what I was thinking. Lamar Jackson has finally got his money.
He finally got his deal.
If there's a time for his skill set or his progression to relax and stop, would be now. Okay, we get to see what he's made of. What's really going to happen with Lamar Jackson? He's got the paycheck. What happens now?
Okay,
yeah, getting paid now.
Here's an interesting aside. We're the only divisional game in the AFC North where AFC North opponents are playing each other. And the Bengals are the only away team in week one in the AFC North. The Steelers host the 49ers. And by the way, Brock Purdy's looking like he's going to pick back up where he left off.
Right.
And that.
He's pretty good.
He's pretty good. He's pretty good. Yeah. That's why we call him that.
Yeah, that's right.
Brock Purdy. Because he's Purdy. Hey.
Who has a Purdy pass?
There's a podcast out. Wish I could remember the name of it. I was listening to it. It's one of the gals from the NFL Network. She's really into the whole zone read scheme in terms of its genius and the way it has, you know, gotten the San Francisco 49ers to the place they are and the LA Rams to the place they've gotten. And to some degree, the Green Bay Packers to where they've gotten, because all three of those guys came out of the Mike Shanahan tree, if you will, in starting in Washington. Some as early as Denver, if you count Kyle. But they all came up together. So all those coaches, when they go at each other, when Los Angeles plays, you know, San Francisco, and they back and forth and beat each other up, these are guys that got history together and learned how to call the game together.
It's like a chess match.
Well, but it's all the zone read. And again, remember, the zone read is great. You get the zone blocking scheme is great, but you can take an average quarterback and make him look good. You can take an average running back and make him look good. But it's all about the scheme. But it's all about the scheme. And listen, I think the acquisition of Jordan Love and Trey Lance by the guys who run this offense, thinking that that's the perfect guy to run my thing and it don't work out, tells you that there's something non-scientific about this. Okay. Because do you know what the 49ers gave up to get Trey Lance? Okay, in the draft, they traded up. They gave up a lot. They just traded him. He's gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
Okay, the Trey Lance experiment is over.
I mean, logically, though, like what people said, if you seriously look football-wise there, you can't really expect a team to give up the other quarterbacks.
I don't like the zone
to keep trade to facilitate keeping Trey Lance at that point. It makes no sense for them to have kept him.
Right. Even though I understand. I'll say this for Shanahan. He's proved two things with the Trey Lance debacle. One, that he will give up stuff to get what he wants. Okay. And sometimes when it ain't, when what he wants ain't what he needs, he's going to be able to recognize it and act accordingly anyway.
Right. Mm.
Or so we say.
I mean, you already had the comparison of Trey Lance and Jimmy G. Okay. You know, I mean,
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G was getting them to the playoffs.
Sounds Brock like Purdy a sausage got him to brand. The
playoffs. Sounds,
hey, Jimmy G.
Jimmy G.
I got me some Jimmy G sauce. Oh, that's Jimmy Dean. Okay. I'm sorry.
Put that on your plate.
But get this. Where's Jimmy G this year?
Right. Where is he?
In Oakland, dude.
Uh-huh.
Oh, behind. Because
Derek Carr. No, Derek Carr is in New Orleans.
New Orleans, yeah.
Right.
Jimmy G got his deal. Here's the thing. Speaking of deals and guys moving, you know, Amari. I'm sorry. Not Amari Cooper. DeAndre Hopkins. You know, remember early on there was some speculation that they'd put him back together with Deshaun Watson and we'd have Amari Cooper and DeAndre in Cleveland.
Yes, yes.
And then there was, no, he's probably going to go to the Ravens and then Lamar's going to have somebody to throw to. No. Again, lackluster quarterback in terms of his just status as an average dude. Ryan Tannehill's who got him because that team gave up the money. So DeAndre did it for the money. Now, that's not just because you did it for the money doesn't mean that doesn't mean you're not going to make it to the playoffs.
Right. Could be the difference.
It does. Listen, I've never seen it work out that way. I'll just say that.
Nope. It usually doesn't.
I mean, he's definitely a significant.
Especially as a receiver. Receivers usually make the difference for teams when they go to teams that already have like an established offense. It's good. You're coming to make it explode, you know,
explode
a receiver going to a team. And he's like
a bad offense.
But the Titans don't.
Well, the Titans got Derrick Henry. So they're going to play action and that's going to free some stuff up, but their long ball offense ain't the best.
I hope we do more play action. I do not.
I mean, listen, we're going to do some of it because you got Nick Chubb. But again, play action is not your long ball game. Okay. Play action is the intermediate throw. And I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
If you're going to take advantage of Deshaun Watson, I don't think the play action game is where the heat is.
So right now, what we're looking at is in our division, week one, we're expecting Bengals loss, Browns win.
Mm-hmm.
Ravens win.
Yeah,
I'm going to put Ravens win. On a win. Ravens
I got win. Steelers losing to the 49ers.
And Steelers losing to the 49ers? Okay.
Yeah. And I don't like that. They're going to be on the second game of a two-game homestand hosting us for Monday night. It don't look good because they got Mike Tomlin as a coach and he's a great equalizer when the talent doesn't necessarily live
up. I hope we go into Pittsburgh and whoop on that Steeler ass.
Well, so I bad. Do too. I do too. But
boy, that's going to be rough.
I'm going to tell you this. As much talking the last 2 years, people have been about Tomlin. You know what I mean? Especially like speculating whether his team was actually going to finally do bad or not. I had somebody make the comparison of Cowher to Tomlin, and I actually looked up those stats. Do you know how close in the fact that Cowher beats him on some certain things and then Tomlin beats him on for everything that Cowher has better than Tomlin on? Tomlin has something better than Cowher on. Okay, right. They are so very similar in comparison of winning percentage and everything else. It's crazy. Tomlin is a really good coach, and he's the fact that he's coached the last 2 years teams that you could possibly say the Steelers could have fell off and been bad, and they were still good. I mean,
that's right. No matter
the precarious place they have him in right now is simple. Okay, they got Pickett because Pickett fell to him. They didn't trade up to get him. If they did, it was no more than a spot or two. Steelers ain't giving up a lot to go get somebody as a team on draft day. And they're not losing so much that they're going to be in the top half of the draft.
I would tell you this. There is a quarterback.
But the problem is that they got him in is how do you get your franchise quarterback? Because remember, when the Steelers drafted Ben Roethlisberger, they were able to do it because they sucked the year before that.
Yeah, right, right, okay. Right. Well, I'm going to tell you this. This is what I was going to get at. Hold a sec. So there's a quarterback that I've watched a couple of times because to consequence, at the point in time, I know someone who's a college football fan, Arkansas. So I've watched a couple of games. There's this one kid, mm-hmm. the Arkansas Razorbacks quarterback. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's big. He runs a lot. He's the size of a really good running back. Okay. Let's put it that way. He's got height. He's fairly accurate and he's great at, you know, he's got that Roethlisberger effect of like shaking tackles off. Now, is his arm and his accuracy good enough? I don't know exactly. But what it screamed to me watching him, okay, and he should be coming out next year, mm-hmm. okay, is Roethlisberger, okay? I mean, depending on how good or how much you think you could coach up,
right.
you know, the seeing the field and his arm and all that, and the Steelers are that kind of team. And I don't think they'd have to be way high in the draft to get him.
No, no.
I could see unless Pickett is like.
Yeah, and it would be just the kind of luck they have that a guy falls to him. I understand that, but he's going to have to fall to him because. So anyway, the reason I was making the point is that here he is with this guy that the city loves. The city of Pittsburgh loves Kenny Pickett.
Right.
I mean, he's going to be your starter if you don't have somebody better. But here's the real weird news out of Steelers training camp in the preseason. Guess who has looked better than Pickett? And if you were just picking based on skills and abilities right now, and there wasn't no Pickett factor in terms of the public perception, guess who would be the quarterback in Pittsburgh right now?
That?
Mason Rudolph.
Really?
Yes, he's really looking like he's coming into his own, and he's definitely going to beat Trubisky out for the two.
What?
Yes, he's going to beat Mitch Trubisky out for the number two in Pittsburgh. Yes.
Oh, yeah, he will be out for the... I thought you said Pickett. I'm like, no. He's not going to beat Pickett.
No, but the only reason I'm telling you this right now, if the only reason is because of the popularity, it would be a totally... See, even Mike Tomlin knows... That, and by the way, there's another problem with Rudolph that's always going to be a problem in the division. Miles Garrett says you said something, and we saw Miles Garrett go upside your head with a helmet because you said it. You say you didn't. Right. Coach says you didn't, but coach has definitely not played your ass at all if he didn't fucking have to since then. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be that.
Right. Remember we thought Mason Rudolph was a diamond in a rough?
He was. He was. I wanted him. Okay. Go back to 2017. The last words I said on the podcast before the draft is I will do this podcast no more if they draft fucking Baker Mayfield over any of these fucking guys.
And I didn't
for 3 years. And I didn't talk a single stitch of Browns for three straight fucking seasons. Because.
Wait a minute. Didn't we? You mean we didn't come back in 2020?
No. Yeah, we did. Okay. You pull your math book out here. Pull your math book out. 2017, 2020. That's 3 years. That's three.
I thought we drafted him in 2018.
No. 2017. Baker Mayfield. Either way, 2018 to 21, that's 3 years in between. That's three seasons of play. I didn't talk about the Browns.
Okay.
2018, 2019, 2020. I didn't know. I didn't care. Okay. Because I thought it was a failed experiment. Now Baker did better than I thought he would do. And to the point, really, in my heart, he kind of won me over. Okay.
Yeah.
But, see, the problem with Baker is the problem with the guy that's overachieving. You know, Baker hurt himself. Baker shouldn't have been making that tackle that way. Okay. The quarterback right. has to protect the quarterback too.
Right.
Yes.
Duh.
Okay. Like but the little guy overachieving, the little guy overachieving, trying to prove he has a right to be here, does that.
Plus his ego, plus his mouth.
I just said that. That is his ego. Okay. That's why he did it. And until Baker gets away from that, you know, there's one thing being a good team player, and there's another thing endangering the team based on you not protecting yourself.
Right. Well, we got Baker's about to ball out in the bay.
Well, he did win the starting job. Baker won the starting job.
So how do you think he's going to do in Tampa Bay?
I don't
know. He starts off against the Vikings. That's how he's going to do.
Is he going to be the best quarterback on the field that day? No. Okay.
They're either going to, he's going to have to do it right away or not. That's what I'm saying. He's playing the Vikings for all intents and purposes.
They're going to be passing the ball on them. I know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins, you know, quietly and without much fanfare, Kirk Cousins keeps putting together good season.
He's just a little bit above Tannehill, wouldn't you say?
Oh, no. Kirk Cousins last year, Kirk Cousins' play last year was deserving of consideration for MVP.
Yeah. I'll put it this way. With that Tannehill comparison, I'll put it this way. The knock on Tannehill is that Tannehill at times, his peak of play is better than Kirk Cousins. The problem is the sheer distance of his worst play is a lot. You getting what I'm saying?
Okay, so
the distance of his worst play and best play are crazy.
You know who Tannehill reminds me of mostly?
Who?
And Kerry Collins.
I wouldn't even give Kerry Collins the peak play that Tannehill. I get you on that.
Well, Kerry Collins, when he was good, was good. He just wasn't very long and not for any periods of time.
My only reason I'm saying that with the Kerry Collins thing is, and this is what I'm getting at with Tannehill. Tannehill on any given week, he could be the best quarterback that week by far. He'd have a crazy ass game, right? Mm-hmm. Just a crazy game that you expect out of a top tier quarterback. And then the very next week, he could be the worst guy on that list.
And that's true.
It's consistent. He'll go from top five to bottom five.
Ask yourself. If Ryan Tannehill was as good as he would need to be as a quarterback to attract DeAndre Hopkins, he'd still be with the Dolphins.
Right. You know who Tannehill reminds me of? This is who Tannehill reminds me of. Jake the Snake.
Oh, wow. Really? Okay.
Wow, Jake.
No, he's not. Now he's talking about Jake Plummer, baby. He's not talking about the snake you're thinking about.
Jake Plummer.
Dude used to play for the Broncos.
Yeah, because he was similar. He was similar. It was consistency was the problem with Plummer. Okay. Right.
Remember, Shanahan liked his ass so much he sent what's his dude packing to Chicago.
Right.
What was that guy's name that was gonna be the next guy that took Chicago to the Super Bowl? Jay Cutler. Yeah.
Jake Cutler. That's who I was thinking of.
Mike Shanahan chose Jake the Snake over Cutler. Okay. Wow. That's almost as bad as choosing Philip Rivers over Drew Brees. Almost as bad. Not quite. They never sniffed a championship game in San Diego.
I mean, and I get it. Even if you look at his quarterback record, Jake Plummer, he was 69-67. His career percentage was slightly under 60. He was through 57%, but he was that kind of guy. For one week, he's got highlights like he's the next coming of whoever, you know.
Oh yeah, I remember watching Monday night, Sunday night games, with the Broncos in it, because it's the only time I would go and intentionally watch a Broncos game. I'm not going to 1 o'clock. Hey, what are the Broncos doing? But if it's on the Sunday night game, and I remember watching Plummer play and really liking the kid. And then the next week he'd come out and it'd be like, well, where was that guy that played last week?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, styles of play between him, Tannehill and Plummer are not comparable. Okay. But it's just the sheer, you know what I mean? Well, he's top five player this week and he's, and he's top bottom five player this week.
Ryan Tannehill just basically is a guy that's got the kind of skills to where you can see why he flourishes in Tennessee. Okay? Because he needs a play-action game. And he doesn't have the strongest arm in the league. He's a big guy, but his arm doesn't get it downfield like you would think being that size. And I'm just saying, you know, Tannehill is a perfectly serviceable quarterback, but you need other pieces in place. And again, they got him a top flight receiver this year. So let's see what he does with Hopkins. And let's make sure he doesn't fucking do it in week three.
Right.
That too.
That's it. So, okay. So here's a prediction. And by the way, we'll be able to change these, but why not? First four games before the bye. What's the Browns' record?
Hold on. Damn it.
Well, you want to know who they are against?
No, I was just on. Hold on. Browns' schedule. There we go. All right. I'm there. I'm good.
Okay. So what's the record out of those four games? What are they going into the bye?
3-1.
Okay. What game are they losing?
The Ravens.
They think they're losing to the Ravens at home, huh?
I would say going into that bye, we are 4-0.
I got to say 4-0.
3-1. Possibly 3-1 because the game I suspect they possibly could win is the Pittsburgh game.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
I expect them to win.
I expect them to be 4-0. Yeah. But if they're 3-1, that loss is Monday night. And again, the most unfortunate loss because the biggest exposure game you got in that first 4 weeks is the Browns, your only Monday night appearance. The only time some people in the league will see you at all because they ain't watching the Browns games.
Boy, I tell you, if the Browns win that night, that's going to mean a lot.
Well, that's the kind of statement. And if they win that night, then they're 4-0. Because I think they hold home and win their three home games. The away game is the one in question because it is in Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin's the coach of the Steelers. And again, as long as he's their head coach, they're in the game is the way I feel about it.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And I just think because of the fact that it's a primetime game, the Browns have more pressure on them in that game than the Steelers do. That could be the difference. Now, the truth of it is, though, it should be the coming of the Browns, the coming of the coaching staff, the coming of everything of the Browns, that they're not rattled by those things that I'm saying, and they still win that
game. Right. I mean, this could be a success year for Kevin Stefanski, if you think about it, because here's a guy comes in the league, he sees initial success to the degree he gets coach of the year. He has three seasons, which are much more challenging because nobody likes a guy that comes in the room and wins the award, okay? Not the other guys, okay? So they were out for Kevin's ass, okay? And listen, he started to buy into a little bit of that hype. Well, he's one of the smart guys. Well, you know what? The easiest way to stop being smart is to think you are, okay? You know, about the fucking time you think you're smarter than everybody else in the room, you about got stupid because the minute they pick up on it, you're not going to be in on every piece of information you need anymore.
Right.
Now,
that sounds about right.
If you're going to be the smartest person in the room, and you'll know it because people will be coming to you. But again, you don't have to acknowledge it. Just be a person, okay, and do your job. To quote the New England Patriots, do your job. That's what everybody needs to do this year. Do your job.
That's all. Who used to say that? Was it last year or the year before?
that just withstood do our New job. England Patriots. Do your job.
No, this was on the Browns. They did.
I don't care. They didn't coin the phrase. They didn't. I don't care. I don't care because they didn't. If they were saying it last year, they said it and didn't do it. Okay. So I don't care.
That's right. Just do your job.
Yeah. No.
If everybody just does their job.
Yeah. But when you're saying, okay, see, there's a difference when you're saying, when your motto is do your job and you're going out and winning games. When you come in back at the press conference after a game you lost saying everybody need to do their job. Yeah, we know that, motherfucker. Okay, so we don't. That's not the context we want to hear that shit
in. Tell us something we don't know.
Yeah. If these guys just do their fucking jobs. Okay, no, I don't want to hear that. That's not, no. See, first of all, you got to get to. First of all, you got to get to the point where doing your job is such a tradition that it's a fucking motto. Okay. The Browns are not there. The Browns are not there.
What I don't want to hear is Coach Stefanski saying, it's all on me. Don't. It's on me. It's on me.
Oh, yeah. But no, he'll be exactly right, though. At least you will be able to laud him for his correctness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
he said that many times.
Goddamn Skippy it is, buddy. And we're going to do something about it this year. That's right. So, okay, guys. Anything else for the good of the order going in? Because we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about stuff there ain't to talk about.
I don't want to say I feel good, but I mean, everything seems like it's in place with these guys. And I just show me, man. Just show me more than
exactly. Because how many times we heard, oh, man, they might have the best offensive line in football. And oh, my God, on paper, they're just, oh, my God. Oh, the Browns are coming. The Browns. And look, no, they never got there. So yeah, I'm like, come on, I can't wait for kickoff because that's when I get to start to see if there's anything to really put my faith in. Right now I'm holding my little faith baggie. It's all full and everything. I'm ready. And I'm not bandwagoning this thing, but I got to see it. Let me see it one time.
Real quick. Speaking of kickoff, did you see the guy who's doing most of our punting do the kickoff after York got injured? I don't know what that was, boy, but it was a line drive low on the field.
You're talking about Boy York.
Yeah. That was
he's our punter.
He can't do the kickoff.
See, we got rid of the Scottish hammer for the Puerto Rican punter.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, cool. I mean, he's a good punter.
Oh, Bohorquez is good, man. I don't know if he's Puerto Rican. He's Hispanic. But Bohorquez is good. He got a leg, dude.
Yeah.
He got a leg. How about you, Jeff? Anything to say before we go?
I think we pretty much covered everything. I'm expecting to see the defensive line dominate next game. It's a team that we know can struggle at times with their offensive line. How you beat them is to rattle that quarterback, and I expect that to happen. And like you guys have said, and we said in the whole podcast, it's seeing what Watson's going to do. We get a whole game of him. He's had a whole season to prepare, a whole off season to prepare anyway.
Went
through all the rigmarole. We get to watch a full game and see how he is.
We get to start seeing if this is money well spent. That's right.
Yep.
I'd like to remind everybody to check out the TBF Nation magazine on Flipboard. That's you can find that along with the other magazines I curate on Flipboard at flipboard.com/daddyjams. That's DaddyJamz. So enjoy yourself with that because I try to keep the most recent news there. And of course, there's the TBF Nation Facebook page. And to whatever degree you find that adequate or inadequate, I'd like to either compliment or blame you.
Hey.
Hey.
I've been posting.
Wait, see? Now, if this were the musical, you'd been like, I've been posting all night long.
Just because I like to sing a song.
Yeah, and that's why this is not the musical.
Right, this is not TBF. We won't be doing that. Yeah,
but what we will be doing is getting the heck out of Dodge, boys. And when we talk to you again, from TBF, a Browns fans podcast, we'll be talking about the results of an actual game. Season opener hosting the Bengals on, what's the date? What's the date of that game? Sunday, September the 10th.
We are ready.
Don't miss it. And we'll be at you. We'll be at you that week to talk about the results. Unless they were so god awful bad, you know, there's no way we'd ever hook up a mic and talk to about it. So, I mean, if we lose 53-0, I don't know if we're going to be talking about it. I don't know.
Yeah,
we might. I think the entire fan base
would be just like, yes,
whatever. Put off at that point.
No, exactly.
It could be a 2-minute podcast. If they lost, they lost, they lost, they lost.
What would it be? Fuck you, Browns.
Fuck you, Browns. That may actually be the musical.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's the only way you keep a good attitude is with a song. All right, you guys. We're out.
All right.
This has been a Basement Tapes production.